Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce the panel, then we'll get started on the subjects for today. We look forward to delving into all that's been going on. First, we welcome WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joseph.
Why don't you talk into that thing?
Yeah, there you go.
Good morning, Joseph.
Alan is here. Good morning. And Rosemary Armeo, who is a SUNY Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter extraordinaire. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Mike Spain is with us. He is the Times Union associate editor. Mike, it is always a pleasure to have you aboard.
Well, thank you.
Pleasure. You are so famous, Mike. Everywhere I go, people say, do you know Mike Spain?
Well, I met him. I don't know how to answer that, except I'm humbled by it.
I know.
We welcome you to be a part of the program and have your moment of fame as we read your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us go to what is happening in the world, and we begin with let's start with the Ted Cruz story. So Ted Cruz fires his aide, his top aide. Why, you ask? Because things are not going well, because the campaign is not making the traction that he feels that it should be making? No. He fires him because of a turmoil on Monday for when the spokesman spread, allegedly, a misleading video of Senator Marco Rubio, an ill-timed shakeup for a campaign already under duress on the eve of the Republican caucuses in Nevada. For Mr. Cruz, who has vigorously defended himself in recent weeks as rivals accused him of running an underhanded race and being sneaky and slimy, the race cuts at the premise of his bid. He has cast himself as the candidate of honesty and integrity with a faith-based pitch and a backdrop that reads, trusted, during speeches.
Well, first of all, you know, I have a feeling about this, which is they got caught. Now, we don't know how they got caught, but they got caught, because you don't go around firing your top aide unless you got caught. Secondly, Ted Cruz is a despised person in the Senate, not only among Democrats, but Republicans, too. They don't like him. And all of the accounts of that are quite clear. Well, when you go around and make all of those enemies, something I should think about every once in a while, when you go around and make all of those enemies, people will be looking for you. And if somebody hears something, they're going to say something, there's going to be trouble. So they caught the guy, and then Ted threw him a cruise missile.
I think it's kind of commendable that several of the candidates in this election cycle have made an effort to stick with promises to run a clean campaign. This happened by Ted Cruz. Bernie notably got rid of and raised a stink when there were allegations that they had tapped into numbers that were meant
database,
for the
right,
yeah
the
for
DNC.
The Hillary Clinton one. It's harder to run a clean campaign than we may think it is when you have a bunch of operatives who feel strongly about you and they're competing. I think that these are good signs.
Well, yes, but this was not just some aide that was working in the background. This was his chief communications officer who had been circulating a video among friends that portrayed Marco Rubio as saying the Bible did not have many answers, when in fact he said the Bible had all the answers. And to the evangelical base, that could be quite inflammatory to suggest the Bible carries no answers in it. And he was caught at this. I think you're right, Alan. In this particular case, I'm agreeing with you. I think that it is indicative. If that kind of thing was going on, I think it's indicative of the style of campaigning that Cruz would run. It's just like when he was in Iowa, he was suggesting at the end, right before the vote, that
Ben Carson
was dropping out. Oh, that was a misunderstanding of a CNN report. Yes, he blamed CNN, although they reacted to that. But and that presumably brought him a few of Carson's votes because people believed him and thought Carson was dropping out. Now I'll vote for Cruz. He's my number two, perhaps.
I don't know. I don't like Ted Cruz, but I don't know if I can hang this on him. I think that he
It's the culture thing. It's like Chris culture thing. You allow this on...
Oh, no, I think Christie really did direct it. I think he knew about the bridge. This one.
Well, Rosemary, let's face it. If this guy turns out to be a miscreant of one kind or another, you know, so don't tell me Ted Cruz didn't know who he was hiring when he hired him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That I have.
In
to
other words, we know what the people. Maybe we don't
think of something else. Though, of all the times I've been in a hotel lobby, I can never remember discussing the Bible. Someone coming up and saying,
"No,
what do you think?"
When
of this
you're
book?
In the room and you open the drawer and you see it, that's a different story.
Who was Kitchen?
That's right. But
in the lobby, you're in a lot of places. Has anybody ever come up to you and say, "What do you think of this book?" and shows you the Bible?
I knew
it's
a guy.
Like a setup.
I knew a guy.
I
knew he's passed now. Winnie Winston, who's a great guy, best banjo player I think in the world, pedal steel guy. I love the guy. And Winnie Winston went to hear a very 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 famous older banjo player that you would notice you would know from a you know if you went to a movie there was this guy
Deliverance the kid in Deliverance
and he said oh my
Earl Flynn.
My brother no Earl Scruggs I've interviewed him he's one of the best men in the world so he says the guy standing up there says my brother and I were in church last night praying and the guy said
yeah
and from the audience comes this cry saying I can't say it on the radio, but BS, you know, we know where you were. You were in a poker game drinking a whiskey. So, everybody, that's your point as well.
Well, may have been praying at the poker table, just not in church, right?
Yeah, for a full house.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, full house.
Here's the church, here's the steeple.
Thank you, Lord.
So, the other thing...
this is hurting his campaign. I mean, there are people now who are saying he's toast. I mean, this combined...
Ted Cruz.
Yeah, saying this embarrassment comes right after a really horrible defeat for him in South Carolina, where evangelicals chose Donald Trump over him.
Amazing.
And that this could be the beginning of the end for him, and that he's actually, under some polls, behind Trump in Texas.
So this is just one of those things that makes my head hurt, where you try to figure out of how a video of he's fired his campaign, his communications person, and there's all this concern about what this will do to his campaign. And meanwhile, Donald Trump can say whatever the hell he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
how can
like
you say that,
Joe? I keep telling you, people, you don't listen. It's all about TV. I mean, you know, TV is the great legitimizer of TV.
Or teething.
No.
TV.
TV.
Okay.
TV.
Not TV.
He's on, as in, he's on TV. I will walk out of the
television.
Studio. I did television around here for all those years, you know.
30 years.
And I would walk out in the street, and people come on running up to me, say, I see you on TV. And that was good. I saw you on TV last night. So that's a great legitimizer. On the other hand, I would go to a cocktail party in the Berkshires. People say, I listen to you on the radio. I said, do you ever watch me on TV? No. Hmm. In other words, there's a demographic issue on who watches TV and who listens to public radio.
But you mean as far as the reality show and know him from his past, not what he's currently doing.
Sure, and they like the fact that he's like them. He'll say anything he wants. You know?
I don't necessarily agree with him, but I like the way he speaks his mind.
They don't even know what he says. But back in the garage, he's just sitting around telling dirty jokes. That's the kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're living in a world where people are coming up to him and say, you can't do that anymore. And here comes this guy. And he does what you're not supposed to do anymore.
I think he's been toning it down a little bit, hasn't he?
No.
Oh, my God, no.
No.
I don't think he's been using profanity.
Well, it's only been a week since he used the P word in a campaign.
So. Right. Well, he vowed after that not to be using profane words. Yes. So he just called the Pope. To, you know,
there was a great moment on the Sunday show, and I think I watched all of them, so now I don't remember which one. And he was on all of them, so I don't But anyway, where he said, maybe it was was it Jake Tapper? And then we were asking him, you don't seem, you know, this does not seem presidential. And he said, there's a point where I can start acting presidential, and maybe I'm getting close to there, but not yet.
I love it. I mean, I love
like,
that.
I mean, it's just like, it's not.
People see that.
I'll put on my presidential suit and get ready later, but right now I have to win this thing.
Wow.
I don't know. George Washington's rolling over in his grave.
Mm. Yeah, well, wooden teeth.
His birthday yesterday, we should
know.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back and try to set the reset button, although it may be too late. We'll be right back after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Saratoga Jewish Community Arts, Skidmore Student Life, and Interfaith Community presenting the film Paperclips, A Lesson on Prejudice and a Miracle. Speaker and panel, March 6th, 2:20 p.m. at Skidmore Filene Hall, 518-584-8730. Berkshire Bank, providing banking, insurance, and wealth management with over 90 locations in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Vermont. Berkshire Bank, America's most exciting bank, berkshirebank.com. And Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenAndPerrin.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We're going to get to your letters in a second. I do want to talk just for a moment about this article in the Washington Post this morning while we're talking about Marco Rubio, because we've been talking a lot about Ted Cruz. So that leaves Marco Rubio. Mainstream Republican donors and elected officials are flocking to Senator Marco Rubio amid a growing sense that he is the last best chance to prevent Donald Trump from running away with the Republican presidential nomination. But Rubio's path remains narrow and perilous. He has yet to win a state, and a raft of major March 1st contests known as Super Tuesday offers few obvious chances for him to do so. And if Trump keeps racking up wins, it will become more difficult to blunt his progress. The big endorsement last night came from Bob Dole. I don't know if that's still a big endorsement. It would have been 20 years ago. I don't know if it still is, but maybe.
Well, so, I think, Joe, that Rubio is the establishment choice now. That's it. He's it. So if they don't want Trump, they got to get Rubio in one way or another. And if they try to steal it, it's going to go to Rubio. That's my bet about how it's all going to work out. Can they? I don't know. I don't think so.
But if they have, as Mike indicates, if Cruz is in a lot of trouble and really does take a hit,
and they don't
over
like
this
Cruz,
too, and they don't like Cruz,
no, they don't like.
But right now in the three contests that we've had, those numbers have been basically Trump's been ahead by 10 percentage points, and then it's been, you know, two other people, either
so,
Bush
yeah,
is now
so,
out, but
we'll
clump
together,
we'll clump together.
So if you're putting your hands on your temples and trying to figure out what this is going to come out.
Yes.
My bet is that Trump is thinking about Rubio for a vice presidential nod. Because you're all making faces.
Well,
but
why? What would be the advantage?
Because he's a sort of going to be perceived as a sort of moderate, yet a Republican.
And perhaps could deliver a swing state.
Yeah. Florida.
A big swing state, yeah. Florida. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Trump is ahead in some
polls Hispanic.
Of Rubio in the Florida primary.
I mean, yeah, no, that's
see,
right.
I said this yesterday. I think all of the establishment running around, all the candidates trying to pick up the crumbs left by Trump, I think it's lost. I think he's got it.
Yeah, I mean the numbers. If history is to be be followed here, when you look at how many states,
although
we've
pretty much shot history out of the water, on
that's,
this one. But
that's exactly right. But if you follow history, no Republican has won in New Hampshire and then South Carolina and not gone on to get the nomination.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not that Trump is showing any weaknesses. If there were problems, then we could say, oh, Rubio can capitalize in this case, it can do that. But he's not.
Right, and there's this presumption that if all the other candidates were out of the race and it was just Rubio and Trump, all the people who would have voted for, you know, the others, Cruz, et cetera, would have turned their votes to Rubio and put him ahead of
but
Trump.
Do you believe that?
No,
do you
no.
Think,
a lot,
do you think
a lot
Cruz
of the Cruz people will go
right.
for Trump. Right. A lot of the Carson voters will go for Trump.
So I think all of this is so much noise, and it's really interesting to me that the Republican donors who had been all in for
Bush
have not switched and dumped their money on somebody else. It's like they're waiting, too.
Yeah. There's pressure on Kasich to jump out so that it can be just down to two, Rubio and Trump.
Right.
And that was Rubio's strategy, although he needs to take on Trump, not take on Cruz.
He's been after Cruz, right.
Let's get a letter or two, and then we'll go to a break, and then we'll come back in more letters, and then we'll continue on other stories.
Dan says, the Bible video. Good morning, friends, said Dan. Good morning, Dan. The Bible video is Cruz Bridgegate. There's no way his communication director shares that video online without showing it to his boss first, hence the immediate firing to absolve Ted of responsibility. Anything's possible. Steve says, I've always wanted my presidential candidates acting presidential at conception. I think his tongue was in his cheek. That was great. But maybe not.
My fellow American.
Okay. And then Bennett says, the nasty Ted Cruz story is being pushed by the RNC because they hate the guy. Mitch McConnell et al. Loathe Ted Cruz with reason. But please consider that your focus on the story at the expense of discussion on issues is unwittingly doing the RNC's business. And that's Bennett in Bearsville, where bears walk in the woods.
They do. It's a beautiful place in the heart of the Catskills.
I know it well. I know it well, yeah. And then Robert says, panel, anybody still thinking that Hillary can't be trusted to be president should take the time to read the leading economists and think tanks' analysis of the Republican candidates and Bernie Sanders' tax plans. Every one of them would hugely increase the deficit, and except for Bernie, would primarily benefit the rich. Wake up, people! Hillary's the only choice for protecting middle and working class Americans.
We're going to hold it there. We will return and talk a little bit more about the mailbag as well as other items in the news. We welcome your letters as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We will continue our conversation, but first, this short news break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain make up the group this morning. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a few more letters.
Yes, we do. From John, if we ignore the completely unrepresentative, quote, superdelegates, Sanders and Clinton have the same number of delegates, and Sanders is ahead in the popular vote count. And that's from John, JD, MBA. And I want everybody to know that I'm reading a different version of this in the New York Times in the upshot, which seems to think Hillary's got it made now based on everything that they are seeing. So, John, maybe you're right. Anything's possible here. Michael says, three types of lies. Lies, dirty lies, and statistics. Trump can still lose even with South Carolina and Nevada. Look at the Yankees. No team ever lost the World Series after winning the first three games. Then the Yankees lost to the Red Sox after winning the first three games. Michael said that. Okay. And Rick says, this is an interesting letter. Good morning, panel. As a Massachusetts independent voter, I will be voting in the Republican primary for Kasich. I was corrected on this too, Rick. We're known as unenrolled voters.
Independent is
different. So. Okay. As a Massachusetts independent voter, I'll be voting in the Republican primary for Kasich. He's our only hope to have a rational choice in November. And that's from Rick. Now, there are those people who are Democrats, and that's the last thing they want to see. Because he becomes somebody who can pull from the middle. Kasich can, because he's perceived, although many of us don't think so, as a more moderate than the conservative crew in all of this. So do you really want somebody who can win the election, or are you going out to vote for somebody who is moderate, who may in fact help the Republicans win? Are you following?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
vote for Kasich. He's not insane.
What did you say? Vote for Kasich. He's not insane.
Well, and that's pretty much been his message, but it hasn't been working.
No.
I mean,
and
that was
Rubio,
Bush's message, too.
Say the same
He's gotten
thing.
A little traction on that, but just not quite enough. Yeah.
Let me just ask this question, because it's a snapshot question. I know we've discussed it, and we discussed it when it became news, but I haven't heard about it in the last, say, 48, 72 hours.
So. A long time in this
so
cycle.
So in this news cycle. So if you are, after what happened on Saturday, if you're Michael Bloomberg, you're thinking what?
You're thinking, I have to stay shut because I can't possibly win this thing.
I think you're right. I don't know how he could.
Because the logic had always been if Bernie Sanders started to flourish and came on, then he would enter the race.
Yeah,
so
he's not doing it. Listen, this guy's very smart. He's been looking at this thing for years and years and years. He just doesn't have the horses to do it. He doesn't. We have heard a very interesting letter. We heard a very interesting letter from Arthur, who says, George Washington had teeth made from hippopotamus. They were not wooden, and they were quite painful. All his natural teeth, but for one, were broken from cracking nuts in his mouth.
I think he would have learned a lesson after the first handful of nuts.
What I love about,
how did he get the hippopotamus?
What I love about this show.
Hippopotamus.
What I love about this show is you can say the most obscure thing for half a second, and then every letter becomes related to that obscurity.
See what
I
mean? It.
Yeah, right.
Hippopotamus?
Yeah, and, you know, that's why we have so few hippopotami left in the... In the world,
in the Mississippi,
guys like
back in the 1800s, there was an effort to bring hippopotamus here and cultivate them and raise them and have them, you know, be a source of meat and everything, and it didn't work. Didn't catch on.
Let them eat.
There's a whole story here on hippopotami.
Yes.
According to both the George Washington Estate, Mount Vernon, as well as Smithsonian, say that his dentures over the course of his lifetime used materials like human teeth, along with bone and ivory from the hippopotamus. There you go.
Where else would you learn it?
I did not know that.
So Justin says, is it possible Rubio will not go in quotes, go after Trump, as he's hoping to be chosen as his running mate, VP?
Well, that would explain something, you know.
Yeah, but they always go after each other, and then they make up, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Look at
JFK and Johnson, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, even...
they didn't like each other.
Even Biden and Obama. I mean, that's just what you do.
Well, do we know that Biden and Obama didn't like each other?
Joe Biden comment about how Obama was a clean African-American.
Oh, he took so much heat for that, and he didn't mean that.
There was sniping during the campaign.
There was.
Right?
Sniping,
and, you know, then they met up. That's fine.
There was a little bit of friction between Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Yes, absolutely. And they made up.
They certainly made up.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
This will be bad news to Sarah Palin. I guess now she'll have to be Secretary of Energy.
You don't really think anybody would choose Sarah Palin to be a vice president.
I do know that Trump said he thought she would be great at one point.
Well, it was the right thing.
Until that speech where she endorsed him, and then I think it went downhill.
I know, that was so crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
She matched and then raised his level of insanity. Yep.
Mike, you have an interesting story about campaign spending and Donald Trump.
Yeah, Casey Seiler, our state editor, did some homework and looked into the Board of Elections records on campaign contributions since the year 2000 and finds something that is interesting today. That is that Donald Trump has given a lot of money to politicians, more than $640,000 in the last 15 years. But he's an equal opportunity giver. He gave money to Pataki, to Spitzer, to Cuomo, to Hevesy, to Joe Bruno, our state senator, former state Senate majority leader from Rensselaer County. He was a pretty much across-the-board contributor. He always argued that his business interests benefited from the support of both sides of the aisle, and that he...
Telling the truth.
He likens himself to Ronald Reagan, who was a progressive Democrat, New Deal Democrat, who evolved, just as he has evolved, to become a conservative and doesn't see any problem. The photo we ran with the story today online and in the Times Union print edition was he with Donald Trump at the Empire State Plaza a couple of years ago with Carl Paladino embracing each other. So, you know, he goes all over the political spectrum as necessary, but more recently he's been focusing on Republicans. So it is as he tunes his image towards the Republican nomination.
You know, I love the idea that he, Mike, that you brought to us just now, that he said, what everybody knows, you don't give all that money, don't expect something back for it. And he admitted it. He said,
he's
it's in my business interest.
He gets people to do things for him. He said that during the debates, the early debates, you know. Given money, they come, they do what I ask them to do. They do what I tell them.
Let's move on to some other subjects and talk about other stuff that is making news, and we'll take a break. I do want to talk about the Apple story. The war between the FBI and Apple has once again heated up. This battle, of course, over a court order requiring the tech giant to unlock the San Bernardino gunman's iPhone. What has happened here most recently, Tim Cook sent a letter to Apple employees saying that the case is about much more than a single phone or a single investigation. At stake is the data security of hundreds of millions of law-abiding people and setting a dangerous precedent that threatens everyone's civil liberties. Meanwhile, the director of the FBI said in a statement that the scale of the San Bernardino attacks, which left 14 people dead and 22 people injured, warranted the pursuit of all leads, including reviewing the iPhone 5C in question. James Comey says, I hope folks will take a deep breath and stop saying the world is ending, but instead use that breath to talk to each other.
Well, Mike had a good comment this morning when we were talking about this, that this is not something that should be decided by a judge using outdated law that never anticipated this sort of technology. This is something that the government and the tech companies need to work out. We are going to have other cases where we need to get into
phones. We need to get some expert opinions in this. And there's liberals who side with the FBI. There's conservatives who side with Apple on this. It's all over the place. But there's a lot of misunderstanding of exactly what the FBI is asking for. The FBI director says, all we want is a way to not erase the phone if we try more than 10 codes, so we can continue to try codes and unlock it. But, you know, they got a lot of information already from Apple in this San Bernardino case, because that phone was saved to the cloud and Apple had access to that. This wasn't a case that really mattered that much. I think the FBI was looking for a case like this, because who could argue with wanting to find out more about ISIS and terrorists? There are dozens of phones that Justice Department wants Apple to help them open. The New York City Police Department has 250 phones they'd like Apple to open for them. I mean, this is a slippery slope. It really needs experts to come to a consensus and make a recommendation. And then Congress has to act. It shouldn't just be a judge in Northern California that makes a decision.
Well, you know what Congress is going to do.
Yeah. Well, they don't do anything, Alan, I don't know what they're going to do.
But of course, to Mike, they're going to say, if these people in California were on the phone with ISIS people, we got to know about that. That's what they're going to say.
Well, that's certainly why the FBI chose this case, which,
because it made the strongest possible case for the FBI. It's really hard to be against anyone who wants to get into that phone. But Apple's case, the more you read about it, is stronger and stronger. It is, what is the government asking them to do? And what does that open them up to in the future? Can New York City police then bring a great case
to
them?
How about Scotland Yard?
How about
Russia?
China? Yeah.
How about China? Right.
Yeah. And is the government asking Apple to dedicate researchers and research time to work on a government case? There's no talk of money. Are they to do this
for
free?
Well, Apple estimated it would cost more than $1 million in research and development. But what more importantly—
Yeah, God forbid they should have to pay $1 million
in
anything.
God forbid, yes.
The government's not allowed to just make the companies pay for stuff.
You and I have duked out a number of times this whole business about reporters who risk going to jail rather than handing over somebody some information over. I mean, this is right on that line.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the government can require its citizens and companies it's that come under it to do stuff for it, but you compensate for them. If you're on jury duty, you get money for that.
Well, it's not the $1 million. It's more Apple's argument saying that their argument is that it is a slippery slope, that once you create a change in the software that allows this phone to be hacked, others will be able to hack it, and everybody's security will be at risk. And that's a compelling argument. Do you believe them? Do you believe the FBI? You know,
Mike, that the FBI isn't on your phone anyway? I mean, you know.
Well, some have suggested that this is all a ruse and they're already looking at you.
Well,
phone.
I mean, look, we don't have to go any further than the Skeloses talking to each other and the kids saying to the father, you know, I don't want I'm afraid to talk into the phone. I believe Preet Bharara is listening to me.
And he kept talking.
And Preet Bharara at our thing says, he said, yeah, and I was.
Right. We were.
And yet he talked and talked and talked.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Tada, offering an assortment of toys, gifts, games, retro candy, and novelty items for children and adults in Stuyvesant Plaza and the Clifton Park Center. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans. So our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. And Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable, and thank you very much for being with us. We have about 10 minutes left, so we're going to go to some letters, and then we'll talk about the devastation of the planet.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Fit that in.
We'll end with that uplifting note.
Michael, do you think the FBI has already popped that iPhone and is just making the terrorists think they haven't, so they will use it for secret stuff?
Yes.
Would it be smart, says Chuck D., for Bernie and the Republican candidates that are behind Trump to announce VP candidates? Would that help to some delegates? Why do they wait to announce their VP candidates? I would assume that could raise votes. Thoughts? It's been done. People have done that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're behind, you throw a Hail Mary and you hope that that'll work.
Who's
I don't really
that
remember.
Now?
But
I was trying to think of it, but I recall. We have to do some homework.
But it has been done.
One of your listeners will send you a note very quickly with that answer.
Worst vice presidential pick of all times is, what's his name? you know, the guy who looked like the
Stockdale.
Chicken. Yeah, Admiral Stockdale.
Oh, James Stockdale. Good. I was thinking of Dan Quayle, who couldn't spell potatoes.
Yeah.
That was not a good one. Sarah Palin.
Anyway.
Well, the E is confusing when you're in the plural.
Yeah,
there.
It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Actually, I have trouble with that, too, but I wasn't running for vice president.
Okay, good morning, panel. Don't you people listen to your own radio station?
No, we're on it.
The blurb about Washington and his teeth was presented yesterday on the Writer's Almanac.
Yeah, well...
Wow! Wait a second.
I love the Writer's Almanac. I listen to that.
Do you think that
in.
We come here all day and just turn the radio station on and listen to it? We have a lot of business, all day long.
I'll go a step further and say when I hear that Writer's Almanac theme, I go... jumping for the dial and turning over to something else. I can't stand that drone for 2.5 minutes.
I have a
Garrison Keillor issue here.
So absolutely, I missed it because I can't stand listening to it.
I happen to love that show, but I do think that Anthony is out of line here. That's what I think.
You
people are listening 24 hours.
We got a couple of these, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, and Kasich just flew home yesterday to Ohio to sign a bill completely defunding Planned Parenthood.
He is a conservative.
Thanks, Angela.
Did you hear about
Angela from Littleville.
Did you hear about his lovely comment? He was talking about his beginnings in politics back in 1978. He won thanks to all the women who came out of their kitchens to vote for him.
Yeah.
Growl!
Yeah.
He's not any moderate
And that writer's point, that writer's point was that he's the quote-unquote reasonable one.
Okay, so... Jerry says, folks, like others, I'm tuning in for fabulous discussions. Please keep the music interludes to a minimum. We also got a letter saying...
Yeah, then go to Bob's letter.
Bob. Oh, yeah, bumper music. Okay, Bob says, loving the jazz-flavored music. Keep it up. Bob C. from Schenectady.
Okay, so there's two sides of that coin.
Yeah. We hear about a lot of things. Somebody just said they want more Alan and less... I don't know.
If you say Rosemary, I'm kicking you.
No, it's more Alan, less BBC.
Less BBC.
Oh, that's good.
When we thought this up, Joe, you were in on the original thinking up of this panel. We thought that this program would be a wonderful way to go from the hard news of Morning Edition to the very intellectual and great content and about all the people who come in and talk about their gigs and what they're doing and books and things. So this was designed to do that. That's why we put the BBC in.
It's also 90 seconds and we have to pee sometimes.
Can you say that on the radio?
Is that loud?
Thought I'd throw that in.
Well, sometimes... you are feisty today. You don't like Garrison. You have bodily functions. What else are you going to reveal?
And Tim, Jim in Montgomery says, panel, Tim Cook has asked for something like what Mike is talking about, that the government form a commission to discuss the issues about privacy and establish an industry standard for these types of requests. Okay.
It wasn't my original idea, I agree.
Okay, and Michael says, I don't understand why WMC interrupts the scintillating roundtable panel discussion for generic BBC news summaries. We can hear the BBC anytime. I understand the need to air underwriter spots, but I think the time spent on the BBC would be yet better utilized with more roundtable discussion.
We're scintillating.
I'm adding
that to my CV. I love that. Part of the scintillating morning panel.
Okay, well, Stephen says, Reagan put up Veep before 76 convention, can't remember his name, senator from Pennsylvania.
It was Arlen's
Arlen Specter, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Huh. Is that true?
I'll be checking that out.
That was in 76, you mean?
I don't know. What do I know? Yeah. I just work here.
The 76 convention would have been, so it was Dole in 80, right? So 76.
It's funny how fast you forget this.
76 was Jerry Ford got nominated, but Reagan was challenging the incumbent president.
No, that's right. So, but who was the vice president? Would have been, it wouldn't have been Hines, would it?
I can't even
remember.
No, Hines was in Pennsylvania, was he?
It was Ford Dole that got beat.
No, that was in 80.
Oh, 80 was Reagan and Bush. That succeeded, right?
They beat Jimmy Carter.
And then Dole ran in 94 or 92, against Clinton and lost.
Yes. As we Google on any other letters while we look for this information?
I don't know. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, Kevin, I agree with earlier comments that there must be other topics to discuss than Trump, Rubio, and Cruz. Why not treat it like sports updates on the weather? Last 5 minutes more of a varied show.
Because we're talking about the President of the United States.
Can you get it? The other day, I shouldn't be saying this now, when we interrupted
Garrison
Keillor.
Yes, your favorite, our dear friend.
Yeah, to put on the results of the South Carolina-Nevada contest. And I have never seen. I got a letter, unlike anything I have ever seen before, from a lawyer here in town, who said, and I can't say the word on the radio, but who said, "Dear FH," he said to me, and then he said, "How dare you? How dare you take this? This is a lawyer. He puts an LLP, whatever the heck he has at the bottom.
The letters.
People are passionate, aren't they?
Well, people like Prairie Home,
and sometimes a little." Well,
did you interfere with the opera?
What I did is I wrote back to him and I said, right back at you. It's the right thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think to say, right back at you.
It's ambiguous.
And John Faso said the name was Dick Schweiker.
Yeah. Which is Senator
right.
Dick Schweiker
Senator
of.
Dick Schweiker,
that's what John J. Faso.
Actually lived near us in Philadelphia.
Who lives in Kinderhook, where we were on Sunday. Having bagels in a wonderful bagel
Faso?
Place.
Did it change?
No, not
vote?
At Faso's house, but around the corner from Faso's and Chris Gibson's house. They live near each other. We went to the fabulous bagel place over there to Kinderhook.
Yes.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah.
Although in Chris Gibson's campaign commercial, his house is played by our house.
Is it?
Yeah.
No kidding. Did he pay for it? Did he have to pay?
No. No, I've kidded him about that.
You know, I've been wondering about something. If you watch television on the old channels, for people like me, you know, where they play things like old Gunsmoke and things, they're always doing insurance for cars in front of the Statue of Liberty. You know, have you ever seen that ad?
The Mutual uses
the Statue of Liberty as its
right.
Icon.
Do they have to pay for that?
No, it's a public domain.
Oh. Yeah. Man. We're out of time.
No.
I know.
After I said something important?
I know. Well, there you go.
Alan, you didn't get to talk about the world.
You know, if we didn't have the damn BBC, we would have more time to talk about this stuff. roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
We'll be back and have more roundtable after this.